Hello, good morning, and how was your weekend? Welcome back to the weekly Youth Trends podcast from VoxBurner. This week's guest is live all the way from New York. It's Michael Goldberg, the Executive Creative Director at American Eagle. Over the past year, Michael and the team have transformed the brand with the Gen Z audience front of mind. He'll be joining us at our Youth Marketing Festival, YMS, this October in New York. Ahead of YMS, VoxBurner's founder, Simon Eder, picked up the phone for a quick chat.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Good. So, Michael, very good to speak to you today. And it would be great if you could just maybe introduce yourself. I know you've got a very exciting background before reaching American Eagle. And why don't you share also your kind of key areas that you're focused on at American Eagle as well?
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me on. I'm really a youth marketer and I focus on the creative side. I'm currently the executive creative director for American Eagle, and I was brought on to help with an evolution of the brand about 12 months ago. Prior to this role, I've worked for numerous youth culture brands. I was the global creative director for Beats by Dr. Dre, the headphone company. I've worked for Sony PlayStation, Hermes, Victoria's Secret, a variety of different brands. But really this current role is a fascinating one because it involves taking a 40-year-old retailer and making the brand relevant to the new generation of consumers, which is Gen Z.
So, Michael, look, great to hear your background. And it sounds like, you know, given the brands that you have been a part of in the past, you're in the perfect place to take on board exactly what you're doing with American Eagle, which really brings me to the next point, which is, you know, obviously American Eagle been around for 40 years. What are you doing now to keep it relevant to a youth audience?
Well, you know, even great brands need care and investment if they're to remain relevant, and particularly at times when there are significant cultural shifts, paradigm shifts, and we're in the midst of such a shift right now, I believe. And so whilst it is important for brands to stay true to their core values, it's also important for brands to be able to pivot, to stay relevant and to take advantage of cultural changes. So really what we're dealing with at American Eagle is exactly that. We're staying true to the core values of the brand, but we're also pivoting in order to stay relevant to a new generation of consumers. We're not a polarizing brand. We have almost 20 million active customers. So we really do cater to a very, very broad group of kids. However, I think that it is important to let consumers know what you stand for and how you fit into their world. And so we were really inspired by the anti-gun movement that was driven largely by school kids who are our customers. I mean, on a personal level, we were, you know, very moved by what happened. But also from a marketing perspective, our values did align with that movement and they are our customers. And so we felt that it was necessary to demonstrate our affinity with them. And so we used our channels. We've got over 1,000 stores and we have a very significant database. And we used those channels to promote the March for Our Lives anti-gun movement, which is spearheaded by kids who have been directly affected by that tragedy.
So obviously, you know, you're not afraid to, you know, take important stances. What's your advice maybe to other brands that might risk the wrath of a particular section of society, but in favour of doing the right thing?
Look, I think consumers want to know who you are and what you stand for and how you fit into their world. And so when those opportunities arrive, you should, I think, take those opportunities to let your customers know what you stand for. And it won't always appeal to everyone. But what you really stand for at your core, those core values are the things that make you a brand in the first place. Otherwise, you're really just selling a commodity. A good example, I think, is Nike, who did a great job. They ran an equality campaign some time ago featuring LeBron and other athletes. And I think it was absolutely the right thing to do because they honor great athletes, and athletes are a very diverse bunch of people. And so it makes sense for Nike to stand alongside their athletes and people everywhere and demonstrate their commitment to equality on the court and off. And, you know, it's things like that that contribute to the brand affinity. And, you know, when you think of Nike, I mean, Nike sells a commodity, as do we. They sell sneakers. But when you think of Nike, you don't think of a shoe store. You think of these sorts of things. So, yes, you know, there can be some risk, but I think that the real risk is to not stand for anything and in the end, to not mean anything to anyone.
Well, just to assure you that at Voxburner, we are proud American Eagle wearers.
That's nice to hear.
And stand fully behind all that you stand for. So, absolute alignment. Moving on to the innovative concept store, which I think you launched in New York, AE Studio, last year. I just wondered if you could share the story behind that project and the value that it's brought to American Eagle.
Sure. When I started, which was about a year ago, my mandate really was to help the brand to pivot and stay relevant to Gen Z, which is the majority of our consumers. And, you know, I think that in the past, retailers were able to expand by acquiring more real estate in malls and putting more inventory out on the sales floor. And that's changed. The mall traffic is down. Digital shopping and in particular shopping from mobile devices is growing exponentially. But this business has a significant fleet of stores, and it is a great asset, or it can be. And the opportunity with a bricks and mortar store is to engage consumers with the brand in the real world. And digital is great, and I think it presents enormous opportunities for engagement with consumers. But I think that it's really hard to beat an experience in the real world. And the majority of our customers, the research shows, prefer a real world shopping experience if it's good. So the goal with the new store design is to create a real world experience of the brand and to enable a range of experiences for our consumers that are entertaining and stimulating and reflect our brand values. And we've seen a lot of success with the concept. We've just opened a mall version only 5 days ago, in fact, in Boston.
Oh, wow.
And the business is doing spectacularly well because we've brought fun back to shopping. You know, we have in the mall store, we have customization of jeans where you can work with our full-time makers in the store to customize your jeans, personalize them. We have a bleaching bar where you can decorate them. There's a social space for kids just to hang out. There are all kinds of moments for consumers to co-create rather than just passively shop. And then the concept in Union Square has other features. We have a free laundromat in the store, so kids can come in and you know, wash their jeans and clothes while they're shopping. We've also based our social media team in the store, so their office is right in the middle of the sales floor, which I think is a really interesting idea because, you know, social is your most intimate connection with consumers, and so to put the social team right in the store where they can physically interact with customers in the real world is, I think, it takes it to the next level and personalizes the brand for consumers.
So it certainly sounds like you're pioneering the way with all sorts of exciting innovations and putting fun back into the shopping, co-creation, things like that. What are the maybe broader trends that you see in fashion retail over the coming year?
I think that there are two or three trends which I think are already happening and will just continue to become more and more important. So I think there are brands like us who are rethinking the bricks and mortar retail experience and moving away from a purely transactional model and injecting emotion and fun into the shopping experience and viewing the real world shopping experience as an opportunity for consumers to really engage with the brand. And obviously we're not the only ones doing that, and I think that the best example in probably the history of retail is Apple and what they've done with their stores. And I think that it's a trend that we will see continue with successful retailers. I think that almost the opposite trend is what you see with Amazon, which is that kind of endless aisle of commodities, the diminishing of the importance of brands, and the controlling or the drive to control consumers' choices and pushing them towards commodities that have the best margin for the retailer. Both of those approaches, I think, have merit, but I think that for us at least, the strength of the brand is our protection against retailers like Amazon who would seek to remove the brand experience from the equation.
So the two big players, Amazon and Apple, pitted against each other in that way. Fascinating to hear. And Michael, just thinking ahead now to early October, I was wondering if you might be able to share just a sneak preview of some of the thoughts that you will be sharing at YMS New York.
Sure. Well, my talk is titled Why Your Advertising Will Fail. And, you know, it's a deliberately provocative title, I know, but there's, I think, some interesting insights behind that idea. And in a nutshell, I would say my thesis is that your advertising will fail because it's advertising. I believe that we live in a post-advertising world, particularly for young consumers. You know, we live in an incredibly complex, noisy world. Gen Z are always on a screen somewhere, and they are in control of what they consume. And they're very skeptical of advertising and brands, and anything that doesn't capture their attention, they'll just filter out. So as marketers, we need to understand that if we're going to market to Gen Z, and we need to recognize that to become part of the conversation and to be relevant to them, we have to produce content that they choose to consume. So it needs to be everything that advertising is typically not. It needs to be exciting and interesting and relevant and entertaining and emotionally engaging. And I believe, to a large extent, it needs to be driven by kids themselves. I think the days when a 40-year-old white guy sitting in an office somewhere can come up with an idea and go and execute it and expect kids to engage with that are long gone. And so, you know, one of the strategies that I've been using at American Eagle is to co-create our advertising with our consumers and as much as possible to cede control over to kids themselves. So the content is inherently relevant to them because they have been key contributors to its creation. And when I give the talk, I'll go into quite a bit more detail about how that works and the explosive success that we've experienced as a result.
And we really look forward to that and your post-advertising exploration, co-creation partnerships with young consumers. And that is October. The final section of this, if we can move to a very quick fire questions around the following. So let's start with, what's been the best moment of your career so far?
I think the best moment of my career is every time I realize that what I'm doing is no longer working and I have to come up with something radically new. So that's the great thing about what I do. There's no fixed solution because we're in such a dynamic environment. It never ends, and I love that challenge.
Your favorite app and why?
My favorite app is a new app called Bird, and I love it because at the moment I believe it's only working in Los Angeles, but I love it because there are these little motorized scooters everywhere, and you just use the app to unlock the scooter, and then you can, they're motorized and you can ride around on them, and then when you're done, you just turn the scooter off and you can walk away from it. It's lots of fun.
Sounds fun. And something that few people know about you?
That few people know? Well, I would say most people don't realize that I'm, you know, very handsome and have a dry sense of humor, and I'm quite brilliant. And hardly anyone knows that, not even my wife. But I'm hoping, you know, that this conference will help me to get the word out.
We will definitely do our best. And maybe a final, what are you most looking forward to at YMS?
I think I look forward to the opposing points of view. You know, I think that we have a tendency to have confirmation bias. You know, I have quite strong beliefs about what I do, about everything really, and it's just natural to seek out information that confirms what you already believe. So I love these conferences because sometimes there's someone who has a very strong point of view that's different from your own, and if you have that opportunity to hear something that challenges your beliefs and possibly changes them, then I think that's a great growth opportunity.
And we very much look forward to having the debate there as well in October.
Excellent.
Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simon and Michael, for a really interesting discussion. We're looking forward to Michael's keynote at YMS NYC this October. And if you'd like to join us for YMS, visit us at boxburner.com for more information and use the discount code PODCAST10 for your 10% off tickets now. Have a great week ahead and look forward to seeing you next Monday.